died for you. He died for me. From our sin, he set us free. He loved us so, his life he gave. So if we ask, we can be saved.
Hello, my name is Rick Hurtless, founder of His Gospel Power. God is the God of kindness. Ruth teaches us about the character of the kindness of God. God's kindness is not simply being nice. God's kindness is supernatural and allows us to be kind even to our enemies. The kindness of God is shown through Jesus as he sent him to the earth to die for those who were the enemy of God. Unrepentant sinners are enemies of God. Nevertheless, God gave those same sinners, including you and I, a pathway to live with him for eternity. God's kindness, his grace, allowed him to send the ultimate Redeemer to pay for a debt that no one outside of Christ could possibly pay. Today we're in the book of Ruth, talking about our Redeemer. And in fact, in Ruth, it looks as though it's talking as Boaz as the Redeemer. Boaz, the kinsman Redeemer. Now, there is an excellent chance, if you've been in church for long at all, you've heard about a Redeemer. You've heard Jesus calling, being called the Redeemer. And exactly what does that mean, the Redeemer? Until I did this study a few years ago, it just didn't come to me. It didn't come to me in the way that it is meant for us to understand. Because see, we don't have Redeemers in our culture. We don't truly have Redeemer. We don't know what it's like for someone to just give everything for us, even though they don't have to. But God, in His grace, in the Old Testament, we're studying the Old Testament, Jesus of the Old Testament, the same Jesus who was yesterday, today, and forever. We are studying about God's grace. And God, in His grace, because of His love for Israel, He made sure that each family line would continue even if the husband died before they had heirs. And that's what the book of Ruth is talking to us about and giving us a picture, an overall picture of the kinsman redeemer so that we might understand what Jesus did for us as our kinsman redeemer. We need a redeemer ourselves so that we can be in the lineage of the living. Because without our Redeemer, Jesus Christ, we would be a Gentile, we would be a pagan, we would be in the lineage of the dead. But because of our Redeemer, we are now in the line, the living line of Jesus Christ. We need a Redeemer so we can be in the family of God. Because you see, because of the sin of Adam, we could no longer fellowship with God. Basically, we were out of the family of God. Now, I know technically it couldn't be said that all are sons and daughters of God because He created everyone. And so that makes us all sons and daughters. However, it is not sons and daughters who are heirs to the kingdom. It is sons and daughters who have not decided not to have fellowship with their Heavenly Father. So we need a Redeemer so we can be in the family of God. And without the Redeemer, we are separated from the family of God forever. If we choose not to accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we have chosen not to accept His redemption, and we are out of the family of God forever. Now, in the book of Ruth, Naomi's sons died without leaving her anyone to continue the bloodline, the family line. And so she was despair. She was in disparity. She knew that the bloodline of her family was over. It was done. In fact, she was in such despair that she came to her daughters-in-law, Orpah and Ruth, and said, that you should go back to your families. There's nothing else from me. She said, I am dead, basically. It is, my life is over. It means nothing any longer because I have left no heir. And so now, go back to your families. Well, Orpah decided to go back to her families. But Ruth said, no, I'm going to choose to stay with you. You are my family. And I will accept your God, and I will be one of your people, and I will take care of you. A selfless sacrifice that Ruth herself made. Because see, Ruth, a Moabite, was going into the land of Israel, and Moabites were not liked in Israel by a decree of God at one point in the Bible. Ruth still chose to go with her mother-in-law, Naomi. But God, in His grace, made it possible that the family line of Naomi would continue. You know, we talk much about Ruth, but in order for Ruth to be such a wonderful woman, I think the influence of Naomi must have been present. And God shined on Naomi to continue the line, her bloodline, and in fact, into the lineage of Jesus, because of His grace, because of the Redeemer, because of Boaz, the Redeemer. Now, what separates God's laws from the laws of other religions of grace? Other religions have no grace. They are only of the law. And even the Ten Commandments, God tells us there was grace that was in that. And if you study the ancient Near East at all, if you study the periods of time that the Bible was written in, you will find that the pagans were ruthless and they had no laws that they should follow that would be, that have grace included in those laws. Last lesson, I talked about Sharia law. And I apologize to some, and some I guess may not be even here, but most of you I think were, that I didn't ever finish what Sharia law is. I guess I take for granted that you're listening to the same things I'm listening to, and that is not the case. Sharia law is the law that is now being tried to be brought into America through the Muslim religion. It is their law. It is a law written without grace. And if you break the law, it's over. Sharia law is such that the adulterer is still stoned to death. Actually, that's not true. See, because of the grace of law of God, He makes sure it's even. The truth is, Sharia law, the adulteress is still stoned to death. Most of the time, the adulterer is not. Sharia law is if you are caught stealing, they cut off your hand. Sharia law is that if you will not convert to Islam, that you are either exiled or put to death. That is Sharia law. It is a hard, steadfast law. And in fact, I think I told you a few weeks ago about a family in Africa that was a Christian family, as a missionary was talking to us, and they had, a man and a woman had been married for 2 weeks. And we're exiled, and you know, and because of our culture and because of our thinking, we think, well, that wouldn't be so bad. At least, you know, they're together. No, they're not. He was exiled to one country, and she was made to stay. So it's not fair, and it's no grace. That is other religious laws that do not follow the grace of our God, who provided a kinsman redeemer to Ruth, who was so concerned about the lineage of Israel that He made it to where your line of your family name could continue. Now Ruth, she was undeserving of a redeemer because she was a Moabite. Now we're all undeserved to be redeemed. There's no doubt about that. We're all sinners. But the Moabites in particular, in Deuteronomy 20:33, God said, no Ammonite or Moabite or any of the descendants may enter into the assembly of the Lord, even down to the 10th generation. Now, some theologians say Ruth was the exception. However, if you do the math, you'll see that the date of Ruth was most likely after King David, who reigned somewhere around, his reign would have been over in 970 BC. And Deuteronomy, where the law would have been written, was about 1400 BC. If in fact generations are 40 years, which we believe they are, the 10 generations would already be passed even for this. It's for God to allow the Moabite to not only be, receive the grace from the Redeemer, but to be in the lineage of Jesus as well. Ruth needed a Redeemer. It's important to understand what the Redeemer is. So for the sake of Israel culture, let's go back just a little bit. The practice of levirate marriage was a practice where the brother or a male relative, if there was no brother, of the dead husband is to marry the widow if there is no male heir. He is to take her and marry her, produce an heir. The first child would assume the family name. After that, if there were any other children, that they would go to the Redeemer, to the kinsman Redeemer. That's what was set up for the Jews, to be able to continue their family line. Land was not to change hands. Land was supposed to remain in the family. It was supposed to remain in Israel. You should not sell your land to the pagans. If it was sold to the pagans, your kinsman Redeemer would buy it back to keep the land within Israel. The passages of levirate marriage are Genesis 38, 6 through 11, the story of Judah and Tamar. Judah was promised a son to Shelah, to her, but did not fulfill the vow. So she deceived him. She posed as a prostitute and she became pregnant. And we've all heard of Judah. She became pregnant by Judah and thus was in the line of Jesus. See, Judah coupled with a prostitute, but yet Jesus still comes from the lineage of Judah because of the grace of our God. Deuteronomy 25, 5 through 10 spells out, tells you a little bit more about the levirate marriage. It was even mentioned by the Sadducees to Jesus when they were asking about the resurrection of the seven brothers that were to marry the one woman. You might recall the story in Matthew 22 where the Jews are trying to trip up Jesus. And they come and they say, there were seven brothers and all of them married this woman to give her the heir. One died after the other and they married this woman to give her an heir. Well, whose wife is she going to be in heaven? And of course, Jesus says, well, you err because you do not know the scriptures. There is no marrying. There is no male and female in heaven. So that is a reference to the levirate marriage. It is a reference to the kinsman redeemer. And I believe it tells us this in Matthew to make sure that we know again what a redeemer is. Why do we need a redeemer? Deuteronomy 25, it's a little different in the time of Ruth than it was earlier in Genesis. But it's because it was not spelled out exactly. And it may have changed a little bit over the years, and it looks like it most likely did. In Ruth, it was the job of the family member to declare the lever, to take care of all of the details. In Deuteronomy, if the brother doesn't want to do it, the woman handles it. In Ruth, Boaz handles the negotiations though. In Deuteronomy, the disobedient man was dishonored. In Ruth, he was not. He was handed his sandal. It does not appear that there was any dishonor in that. What would happen is that someone, they would make a negotiation, and if the Redeemer turned down the opportunity to marry for the lineage, the other would take off his sandal and hand it to him, take off one sandal, and he would be called of the one sandal family. It was a disgrace not to accept the responsibility. In Ruth, it seems like there is no dishonor. But Naomi needed a redeemer also. Naomi needed a redeemer to continue the line of her sons, and God provided a redeemer for Naomi and for Ruth. God also honored Naomi and Ruth, of course, because her kinsman redeemer, Boaz, is in the lineage of Jesus Christ. And so we still tell this story today about Naomi because of the grace of God. The Redeemer pays the price for something that he did not owe. The Redeemer stands up and says, "Yes, I will take this responsibility on me. I will take this woman and I will marry her and father her child, and I will buy anything, all the land that is needed to be purchased. I take this responsibility on me." The Redeemer pays a price for something he did not owe. Now, Boaz was a relative of Naomi's on her husband's side. And Boaz is the Redeemer for Ruth and for Naomi. He comes in as the kinsman Redeemer. And if you read the story, it's a love story. He falls in love with Ruth. She was, I believe she must have been a beautiful woman because he picked her out of the field. He saw her out there. It was like, whoa, who is that? If you read the story, you can kind of read some of that. It's kind of like, you know, they're talking to him business. He says, "Yeah, but who is that? Who cares about what you're talking about? Who's that over there? Where'd she come from?" And then, as you read the story a little bit more, he says, "Well, go ahead and leave her a little extra. Make sure she's taken care of. And if one of you lays a hand on her, they will be answering to me." You see, it sounds like a little bit more than his duty. But that's the way God works. That's the way God works. So the love that Boaz had for Ruth caused him to redeem her, even though he didn't have to. But because he loved us, the same can be said about Jesus Christ, who is our Redeemer. Because see, the love for us that Jesus has for us, even though he doesn't have to, even though he hung on the cross and he didn't have to, he didn't have to care about us, but he did. In Luke 1:68, it says, "Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has come and has redeemed his people." The God of Israel has sent Jesus Christ and he has redeemed his people so that we will no longer be separate from God, but now we are a part of the family because of the redemption. Boaz became a part of Naomi's family. Naomi became a part of Boaz's family. Ruth, it all intermingled. They were all family. Galatians 3:14, "He redeemed us in order that we might be a blessing given to Abraham might come to the Gentiles through Christ Jesus, so that by faith we might receive the promise of the Spirit." He redeemed us that the blessing given to Abraham, it wasn't given to us. It was given to the people of Israel. But yet God, because of His grace, said, "I want to bless all of my creation." Remember we talked last week. Israel was the chosen people to bless the world. Unfortunately, they failed miserably. Israel was supposed to be the people that walked and said, "Look, this is what it's like to walk with a loving God. This is what it's like to have a loving God fight for you. This is what it's like to have a loving God feed you. This is what it's like to have a loving God care for you." But instead, Israel, time and time and time again, denied and rejected God and said, "We want a king like all the other nations." God sent manna from heaven and they grumbled. God sent quail and they grumbled. God took care of them at every turn. And how did they repay him? "We want a king like all the other nations. We don't want you. We want to be like the rest." You see, God set it up so that Israel might be the light to the world. They would begin to worship God because of the people. And instead, they rejected God. So God still wanted to save you. So he sent a Redeemer. He sent someone to redeem us, to pay a price, even though he didn't owe the price. He didn't owe the debt, but he decided to pay it. 1 Peter 1:18, "For you know But it is not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your forefathers. It was through the blood of Jesus Christ. You see, man's redemption cannot pay anything. Man's redemption pays the land and everything, but all of that burns when we leave. Man's redemption might pay off your bills that you owe, but it all burns when you're gone. The Redeemer we need is eternal, and that is Jesus Christ. Jesus paid the price for us to continue in God's family line. Jesus paid the price so that we would no longer have to suffer and die, but yet we could live for eternity with Him. He paid the price for us to live in that eternity. He paid the price so that we might be able to stand with Him. But it's us that has to choose. It's us that has to agree to the redemption. Because see, technically, Ruth could have turned it down as well. Ruth could have said, I don't want to accept this. Now, she would have been a fool to do so. Look what Boaz was offering Ruth. Boaz was offering Naomi to finish the bloodline. He was offering her blessings. He was offering her bills paid. He was offering her a place to live. He was offering her love. Does that sound familiar? People would be a fool to turn down this redemption. There's many fools out there. There's many fools that walk out there. I've been a fool. Perhaps you have been too. I know that none of you were saved all of your life. You had to accept Christ at one point in your life. Maybe you didn't. You never have accepted Christ, maybe. Maybe you don't understand what I'm talking about with the Redeemer, the kinsman Redeemer, who has redeemed us and has paid the price that He did not owe, but He paid it for us. Our Redeemer lives, but yet we see a world walking in front of us on a daily basis that rejects what He has paid. They reject the fact that we have a Redeemer who lives with us and offers us eternal salvation, offers an eternity with Him, with all the bills paid, a mansion and no electric bill. You don't have to clean the place. Ladies, maybe some men, I know how to work a vacuum cleaner. It's that thing like this, isn't it? I've moved it back and forth, but I can't figure out. I just got this long cord. I don't know what to do with it. You don't have to clean the mansion. They tell us of an uncloudy day. The Bible tells us of a time that we will be with God, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. We're about to get into the season, the real season of redemption. Really, we're in it every single day. If you're a Christian, you're in the season of redemption every single day. You should be celebrating Easter every single day. You should be celebrating the resurrection and the life every single day. But this time of year that is coming up, it gets even more in front of us that we can see the redemption, we can see the love that God has given to us. But yet, we don't want to share that love. This is mine. I don't want to give it away to anybody. They might laugh, for one. They can make fun of me. Don't want that. I don't want people making fun of me. I hate it when that happens. They might not want to be my friend anymore. Maybe they never were your friend. God asks us that we shine His light wherever we go. We have a Redeemer. The world has a Redeemer. Some of them have never been introduced to the Redeemer. It's your job to make the introductions. You know, have you ever been with somebody, and I've been guilty of this even, where you're with someone and you walk up to someone and you introduce each other, or you just say hello because you know each other, but you don't introduce the one that you're with. What happens? It generally hurts that person's feeling. You know, it generally hurts their feelings because you didn't, well, you could have introduced me. Now, sometimes it's like, oh, I didn't remember their name. I was hoping they would say their name, but I didn't do that. Well, okay, then you're off the hook. But it kind of hurts your feelings. You see, we have a loving Savior that walks with us daily, and all He wants us to do is say, hi, how you doing? It's good to see you. Let me introduce you to my Jesus. This one standing next to me. Because if you're walking in Christ, they know you're walking with somebody else other than yourself. Because I said, go to the grocery store. See how they shop. You know, see the frowns, see the intense looks. Just try smiling at some of them sometime. See what happens. Sometimes they might smile back. Sometimes they might think you're just weird. Take it on yourself to introduce the kinsman redeemer so that they will know that He lives inside of us. Let us pray. Father, in Jesus' name we come to You. And we thank You for Your love for us. We thank You because You are a wonderful Savior. We thank You that our Redeemer lives, Father, and He has paid the price for us, for a debt that He didn't owe, that I incurred, but He paid my debt. Thank You for the place that You have prepared for me. Thank You that I will be able to live with You there throughout eternity. I pray in the name of Jesus that You will help us to be the kind of Christians that You would have us to be. That You will help us to be those who shine Your light and who introduce our Jesus to the ones that we meet. I thank You for all that are here today. I thank You for this congregation of caring, loving people. I pray that You will help us to love each other all the more. And I give You the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for joining with this study. If you would like more information about my ministry, please feel free to go to my website, hisgospelpower.org. God bless you in your faithfulness to Jesus. Until next time, I pray you receive His gospel power today.
Be washed away.